Music right there from High on Fire. That song's called The Cave. And they are the cover artist on the latest issue of Ghetto Blaster magazine. And as we do from time to time, we have the editor of Ghetto Blaster in the house to share some new tunes with us. So I want to welcome good friend of the show, Dave Obenauer. Dave, welcome back.
Hey, DeWitt. Thanks for having me.
Very happy to have you here and excited about the new issue. So let's start off right with the cover artist. We heard some amazing music from High on Fire. Tell me a little bit about these guys and why you guys picked them for your cover artist.
I'm just rewinding in my mind. I shouldn't have sounded so chipper in that response back. Like, we just played High on Fire, one of the most brutal metal bands out there. Hey, Juliet. Thanks for having me back. Man, High on Fire is super rad. Their history goes back from another much celebrated band called Sleep, which splintered off. And we got from that two amazing bands, High on Fire and Ohm. And Ohm is definitely like the more reflective, sort of meditative, equally awesome, and can get pretty sludgy too. But High on Fire is kind of the caustic elements of that. And they're just always interesting. They always put out pretty incredible records. This one's no exception. And I mean, he is a really interesting interview too, Pike. Like, I was really glad with the interview that our guy got, Andrew Lampola, because we're more of a fan magazine than a musician magazine. And a lot of these interviews with High on Fire, you get like, can go down like, you know, tech rabbit holes.
Oh, yeah.
And things like that, which are interesting too. But like in ours, we kind of give him a platform to spew forth some of his ideas about the end times and our oncoming reptile overlords.
With this kind of build up, I'm like really excited to read this one.
Oh,
honestly.
It's amazing. And like this, I don't know, metal always kind of triggers these sorts of interesting characters too. And you're reading it. And the thing that's amazing is that you just hear how self-aware he is. He's like, this sounds crazy. And he apologizes to the writer like,
but I'm going
to
go ahead with it anyway.
Like, I'm going to dump all this on you. I don't know how you're going to make a story out of it. I know this sounds crazy. But like, I don't know if it's him or the writer's work, but you're just reading it and you're like, yeah, this is crazy. But in the back of your mind, I'm like, well,
what if?
I don't know. And if he's not crazy, it's not good. It does not bode well for us if this guy is not insane, or at least, you know, partially out there. Yeah. So it's definitely a really interesting interview as far as that goes.
I love it. I love it when you can get that kind of you know, that almost storytelling element out of a music interview. It happens sometimes. It doesn't always happen. You know, again, sometimes you fall down that technical rabbit hole or you just get something very straightforward. But when you can really like draw an artist out in that way and get that really interesting narrative thing happening, it's so much fun.
Yeah,
both as a reader
you
and
can
an interviewer,
get out of
the
minutiae of the sort of like, well, we toured, rehearsed these new songs, recorded them, and then we're going out and tour again, and we hope people like them.
Yeah.
Like, you can get that same interview from every single band in the issue. And sometimes, you know, some of these bands, you know, don't have a lot more than that.
Sure.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not as interesting of a read as when they start going off about the reptiles that will rule us.
Those are few and far between,
very
special.
That's why I'm in this business.
Oh, we are talking with Dave Obenauer, the editor of Ghetto Blaster magazine. We were just talking about High on Fire, who is the cover artist for the latest issue, which is out now. And we'll have your chance to get your hands on a copy, courtesy of Dave, here in just a little while. So be sure to get your phone close by for that. We'll be doing that in just a little bit. So hang on close. But first, let's get to some more of the artists featured in this issue. We've got some familiar names coming up, but first I think we need to talk about Czarface.
Sarface is amazing. And this is another, I know I've waxed poetically on this show before about the idea of making the album that's something desirable. But Sarface is a hip hop trio. And, well, Sarface, the group, is a hip hop trio. But Sarface, the concept, is a comic book superhero. And with this album, they accompany it with a 70-plus page comic book. It's just gorgeously done. And there's some really talented players behind it. The track we're going to play for you features Method Man. But the trio that are make up the group are two guys from out of Boston that do a lot of releases off of Brick Records. And that's Esoteric and 7L. That's right. And then Inspecta Deck from Wu-Tang Clan. So it's a really amazing pedigree. They went for something super creative and they got it. It's a great album. And like, go down to Toxic Beauty, go down to Omega Music and get your eyes on this. If they don't have it, ask them to order it just so you can look at it and then buy it. That would be nice.
Yeah. Before we get to this track, I do want to ask you, you know, it's been this really interesting thing that I've seen it kind of come to light over the past couple of years, and yet it's kind of always been there sort of in the wings, this sort of fusion of hip-hop and comic book culture. Like, it's kind of been there for a while, but I'm seeing more and more of these, like, interesting crossovers. Have you had any observations to that as...
Absolutely. Another guy that we actually have featured in this issue, Megaran, is kind of in that nerdcore grouping of hip hop. I think he actually did a show while I was on promoting the last issue at Superfly. I'm pretty sure that may
be
true.
That's entirely possible, yeah.
The whole mixing, it's generally more the underground sort of backpacker hip-hop that does this, which is weird. Like, I feel like mainstream hip-hop, although mainstream culture has fully embraced comic books, and this is just a white guy from Ohio talking about this, so I could be totally wrong. But even though the mainstream culture has totally embraced comic books, it doesn't seem like, you know, the stuff that you hear on mainstream hip-hop radio is there. But, like, if you start listening to some of these guys that are doing stuff in the underground, like, it's all about 90s nostalgia. Hey, my fellow 30-year-olds, hip-hop is great. It talks about all the stuff we love, old video games, like Star Wars, comic books. It's amazing. You need to give it a chance.
Well, let's take a listen to this one right now from Sarface. This is called, appropriately enough, Nightcrawler. And we'll hear a couple more after that, and we'll be back to talk more with Dave Obenauer from Ghetto Blaster Magazine. And stick around, because we'll have your chance to win your very own copy of the latest issue of the magazine, where you can read all these really cool articles and check out more of this music. You're listening to Kaleidoscope on WISO. Here's Sarface.
Give you my dose of pride. But Nightcrawler,
no need to adjust your system. This song, call it Jack Herrera, cause it hits strong. Fist pump, rebel on the set, make your jump. Doubt me, get in line, cause the list long. Scandalous type Knicks song. Mellow in your face like the Knicks on. Long gripped in the pits with my wits on. Blow quick, short wick on a lip balm. Better strong, any record inspector on. I transform to a beast, call me Predacon. Upper echelon, deco rep till he dead and gone. Was an ex-con, now I get my checks on. Now a nigga's alright like I'm never wrong. Headstrong, stepping through a present day Lebanon. Light Marvin, I get it on. Rebel gon' set it off, then I jet set where the weather's warm.
Baby, am I dope? So
Florida,
listen, I'm a visionary killing this, I'm stealing this. Hang with a gang that's feeling this, building this. Run the ground up, turn the sound up. Lounge around, let the beat pound like a Dillinger the handgun. Can't come close, I'm a phantom. Your brand ain't a movement and your jam ain't an anthem. Tantrum, crying bitch, a battle and your dying wish. I'm a genie that'll grant that shit. Sis flash, shrunk and low sweater, yeah, we tight knit. Tight kicks, flow holy water like Christ spit. Ice pick, twin that motherfucker like a nightstick. Prisoners, tie sun up, that I your mic shit. Listeners, take a deep breath, I mean a recess. ES, mid issue one, you to repress. Refresh, your funny style, you should redress. Speak less, what's a brave heart with the weak chest?
Right?
Yo.
This I spit bomb, kill him softly with this song. Click strong, this ain't nothing like a chick song. Big John, in the shower with a big blonde. Switch on the palo, sal and the big bomb. I'm big homes, I ain't living till you live long. Big bone, honey, trying to keep me in the friend zone. I touch down, try and put it in a end zone. Pimp bone, and I dip on her like I'm Jim Jones. Yes, y'all, heard the rest, who the best, y'all? You slept, dog, I'm a threat, what you rep, dog? Respect, dog, here's a bone, go and fetch, dog. Mr. Map, y'all, my favorite letter is F, y'all. As I continue where we left off, next off the list, another hater is checked off. Get lost, you trick, check boss or bets off. More music and less talk, I'm talking about.
Give him a dope, silver pride.
You already know, man.
But night grows.
I walk down the street, people look at me and say,
who the hell are you?
I'm just an average Joe.
New world, so we could live together in America.
That was Built to Spill from their latest album. That one's called Living Zoo. And we had Desparcidos before that with City on the Hill. Czarface started us off with Nightcrawler. The common thread here is that all these bands are featured in the latest issue of Ghetto Blaster magazine. And as we do from time to time, we are checking in with Dave Obenauer, the editor of Ghetto Blaster, talking about some of the music that they've been featuring in the magazine, some stuff that's caught their collective ear. So let's talk a little bit about these three bands. We talked about Czarface a little bit, but the other two are kind of mainstays of the rock scene, if you will. I know we've talked before kind of about that whole idea of when bands that are very consistent in their releases or are kind of mainstays, when they release a new one, kind of how do you decide or how do you prioritize whether to cover it, whether to wait for the next one, so you're not like every issue like, oh, hey, these guys have another one. I think we've talked about that in reference to Robert Pollard mostly because he's so prolific. But what about those two albums caught your ear?
Well, I think one of the things was Built to Spill was kind of coming back, and there was a lot of tour dates along with it, too. So I knew that it was something that's, you know, it's not going to sink like a stone. It's something that they're actively supporting. And honestly, Built to Spill is just a band that, like, in my tenure as Ghetto Blaster editor, we hadn't covered yet. So, like, when that came out, I'm like, well, this is the perfect time. You know, the release date of the album works with the release date of the magazine. We got to make this work out. And I was admitting to you over the break, like, Built to Spill is one of those indie bands that I'm familiar with and I've enjoyed. Like, I think I own like 3 albums, which is shameful. I should own more. I don't know if Tracy likes me saying I should own more albums. But yeah, they're just this band that, like, you know, is great. And then you listen to it and they don't disappoint. So, and also they were at the Nelsonville Music Festival, which is a amazing fest that we always go to this year. Actually, in the magazine, we always do a comic live review, and this time we featured the Nelsonville Music Festival. I think Built to Spill may have gotten a shout out in it. I'm not sure offhand, but yeah, so that was definitely why we went to them.
Very cool. Very cool. It's, you know, it's kind of, it's always interesting to me sort of. It's kind of like when we talk about, you know, who's the one that got away, you know, that you missed. It's always interesting to me to kind of find out musically, like, among music fans, like, who's the one that you just didn't make it to until later, because, you know, in all honesty, it's like we can try to keep up as much as we can, but there are only so many hours in the day.
which is a blessing and a curse,
right?
Like, that's the one thing that I still love, like, when I pop in a CD and when it just, like, blows me away. And this is, like, it could be an old band, it could be a new band, but it's just like, I didn't know this existed, mm-hmm. like, 3 minutes ago, and now this is, like, one of my favorite things in the world. And it's so cool that, like, even as a music magazine editor who listens to so much, like, you can still have those experiences. That's why it's just so sad to me when I'm talking to my fellow 30-somethings or whatever, and they're just like, yeah, you know, I just kind of stop paying attention, and I'll just throw on Spotify and, you know, basically whittle it down so it's some inoffensive instrumental music that's playing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man, there's still great stuff out there that you'll flip your wig over, you know?
Used to be my primary frustration working in a record store, having people say, there's no good new music out there. And I'm like, no, you're missing the thrill of discovery.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, it's such an old person cry that there's nothing good out there. It's like, well, yeah, if you listen to radio other than WYSO, you'll think everything's horrible because they're playing the same music that you were listening to for the last 20 years. It's like, oh, Smash Mouth is still a thing? Okay.
Oh, man. That takes me back to, like, high school marching band. So what about Desparcidos? What drew you guys to them? I mean, that's another kind of seminal band in the sort of alt-rock, indie-rock world, one of those long-standing.
Yeah, people may not, like, immediately draw the connection with that name, but that's Conor Oberst's kind of, like, more rockin' project. I shouldn't say that because there are some equally talented musicians in their own right from other bands whose names temporarily escape me that make up this one. But this is their first album since their debut album, which was back in 2002, I want to say. So we're talking about like over a decade leading up to this follow-up. So, I mean, I just thought that like this is the one to go in. And I think Ghetto Blaster is a little more rocking. We're not quite as shoegazy. But then as I say that, like I think of the Mark Kozlik feature we do. So we do listen to some guitar singer-songwriters too. But like it just felt like Desaparecidos was the way to go in to kind of check back in with Connor. Even though we didn't actually do the interview with him, we did it with one of his bandmates, I believe the guitarist. But yeah, it's just interesting in hearing him talk about like the two different bands fans coming into Desaparecidos and like their reactions to it. But yeah, it's just an interesting project, and being out on Epitaph, you knew that it was going to be a bigger deal and the guys were actually going to be able to spend some time away from their other projects to do some touring with it too.
And now this issue is kind of special because we talked about the cover artist earlier.
Double cover!
So you've got the front cover artist who was High on Fire, but there's also a back cover artist this time, and it's somebody who I really dig, MERS. So why a double cover and why MERS?
Well, the simple answer is we didn't sell the back cover. Well, no, we were able to put together enough ad partners that I was looking at it, and we hadn't sold the back cover at that point. And it's just like, well, man, fall is always a great release season. Well, summer, fall is always a pretty solid release season. And even though we'd done a couple of hip-hop covers before this, like, it's always nice to get that balance in there. And we have an amazingly talented photographer in Austin, Devaki Knowles. And she did a photo shoot with us for MERS when he was touring through there. And just looking at these images, it's like, man, I'm only going to be able to use maybe one or two of these for, you know, the story in the magazine. But when this opportunity came up, well, it's like, absolutely, let's throw this on there. And it's very timely. Like, MERS is a great example. And this has been happening probably for the last decade or so of, like, hip-hop growing up. A lot of these, musicians and MCs just getting older, becoming dads, the, you know, financial strains that come with that, the aspirations that come with that, not wanting to be on the road as much, wanting to make your time on the road count more, and then also seeing more of a community. Like, and I think the whole Black Lives Matter thing, it definitely has a big thumbprint on this album. And you can just tell, like, his real concern for the way the country is headed and the way his people are headed. And yeah, it was just a really good interview, really good photo shoot. We had it, so why not do it?
It's perfect. MERS being one of those amazing, I feel like he's one of those, like, you know, must listen introduction to like indie hip hop kind of guys. Like, he would be on my list if I were going to say, oh, you want to get into indie hip hop? Like,
I'll take that list from you still.
Okay,
too.
Okay. I'll write that down for you too. Yeah, he would definitely be on my, I mean, he was introduced to me as someone who is like seminal, you know, indie hip hop listening when he was first emerging as like, here's a young guy on the scene just getting going, but here's somebody to watch. So let's take a listen to this one, and let's also give folks a chance to get their hands on some of these copies you brought. What number callers you want to do?
2, 4, and 6.
2, 4, and 6. All right. Callers 2, 4, and 6 at 937-769-1998. That's 937-769-1998. Callers 2, 4, and 6 get their very own copies of the latest issue of Ghetto Blaster magazine that Dave has generously contributed to us. And while you get to your phones, take a listen to this one. Here's MERS doing No More Control.
Through the junkyard, kicking the can. Never would I think I had the world in my hand. 17 times circumnavigate the globe. A traveler's tradition, my religion is the road.
broke the mold, explored all the options. The quickest way to curate the cash, so I clocked in. On the job, no training wheels. Told my mama I'ma make it, cause I say I will. Say I will. Till the wheels fall off. Yes, yes, y'all. To the beat, it don't stop. Between a rock and a hard place, came up out the ghetto with my boys, no Scarface. But is my mind playing tricks? If the world is really mine, how I ain't got. Till they stop and they frisk, but it's never gonna change till we stop and resist.
Listen, listen, if you want it up, till the sun is up, then you one of us. So listen, listen, it's all adding up, and we had enough with diamonds in the rough. No more control, no, no more. No more control, no, no more.
Control, 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 control.
Welcome to the world of drug dealers. Comic books, white girls, and real skateboards, bandanas, and malt liquor. Japanese cartoons and straight killers. They tell us get out the ghetto and get rich. But when you really a rebel, you don't fit. We all trying to find our niche. Gotta grab it by the throat and make the world joke. It's the American way. Plug into the drive and let the narrative play. We obsessed with nothing but the best. Would on your own or be a drone with the death wish. Defy definition, repress repetition. Get money, get sex, the addiction. The depression, the stress, the affliction. Get ready, get set, go, we on a mission.
Listen, listen.
Police brutality up at the park, but when we killing ourselves, don't nobody want to march. We got to start to take a look in the mirror. If we don't respect ourselves, then they always gonna fear us. If black lives matter, then black lives matter, and the color of the killer shouldn't even be a factor. Most of these rappers ain't equipped to lead, cause most of these rappers illiterate, can't read. This is educated street music for the educated street movement. It's messed up what the police is doing, but take a look at what we doing.
Oh,
You're listening to Kaleidoscope on Member Supported 91.3 WISO Yellow Springs, Dayton, Springfield, and online at WISO.org. We still got a couple copies of that magazine left to give away, so hang on, because we'll have your chance to call back in if you're interested here in just a moment, or maybe we'll throw it to the Facebook crowd. I don't know. We'll see how we feel here in a minute. But we just heard a song called Lost Again. And tell us about this fellow and this song, Dave.
How do you pronounce his last name?
I believe.
Is that why you threw it to me?
I believe it is.
So iconic,
McCon.
I should know. McCon?
I believe. That is how I have heard it pronounced.
Let's just call
him. I could be wrong about this.
Mr. Superchunk.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, we won't talk about the fact that for many, many years, many people within like many public radio stations were mispronouncing the Avett brothers as the Avett brothers. So it happens.
Wait, it's not the Avett brothers?
It's technically the Avett brothers. So I was corrected a while back. But everybody still says it Avett. Yes.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, yeah.
Be that as it may.
Be that as it may.
Mac is amazing. You may know him from Port of Static. You may know him from Superchunk. You may know him from his solo work, but this is actually the first album that he ever released under his own name. And in the interview, it just kind of goes into that. It's just like, well, I was playing these shows, and then I made these weird rules for myself. Like, oh, I can't play a Portis Static song if I'm going to play a Superchunk songs. And then, like, the older he got and the more he was doing it, it's like, this is just silly. I should just play what I want. And then at that point, he's like, well, I'm just going to release an album under my own name. It's weird though too, because this is not just another Mac release. I know you said you were playing some of the other tracks on Kaleidoscope before too, but it's very 80s influence, mm-hmm. which is cool because I don't think it's in vogue anymore. Like when MGMT, like 3 years ago, and that
crowd
was bigger, like it seemed like 80s was coming back, but it seems like that's died down. And I don't know, like I felt like Mac could have done the very safe thing and just did kind of, you know, the 90s indie rock sort of troubadour, or maybe even go kind of the sort of alt country route that a lot of solo albums tend to go. But like it turned out to be this very polished kind of 80s influenced record, which admittedly that is not something that draws me in, but listening to, I think, kind of the gruffness and the unpolishedness of his voice matched with that. And then of course you're still getting this sort of merge, his record label production value, that sort of indie rock production value that you're used to. And I think coupling all those things, it takes away instances of when that kind of synthesizer sound can feel a little soulless. It still inflects it with a lot of heart. So it's an incredible record. It was a bit of a gambit, but it was great, and more people should be talking about it.
And it's cool because I can still hear just a little bit of Portis Static in it, like just enough to make it kind of like, oh yeah, it's that, but it's something a little different as well.
Yeah, Portis Static is beautiful. You guys should all go buy every Portis Static album.
Agreed.
Summer of the Shark. was that just an EP? Summer of the Shark?
I think so.
Yeah. That was great. I lost my copy of it, but then I had somebody burn it for me back when Napster was a thing. But I bought it, so I wasn't ripping anybody off. But I still have that burn in the CD case, which I didn't lose the case, just the CD. Great story.
We also heard Prefuse 73 back there, Applauded Assumptions, and that's another one of those great examples. You always bring at least one like really great like instrumental kind of techno-y track that I'm just like, oh, thank you. There is good techno out there that's not, you know, just sort of club remixes of pop songs.
Oh, absolutely. Guillermo Scott Heron, under whatever moniker he's performing, always puts something interesting out there. The new album actually is partnered with two EPs, and it's very thematic in what he was doing. Like, he talked about how one of the releases is kind of focusing on the neighborhood that he lives in, and then the another one he just tried to kind of embody the idea of darkness, not in like a menacing way, but sort of like a late night after the club is closed, before, you know, people start spilling out into the streets and things like that. But it's just interesting. I love these electronic artists that infuse analog sounds in as well. It's just this other way of taking something that can feel very disconnected, but infusing it with this heart that kind of gives you that juxtaposition that makes for a really interesting listen.
It reminds me a lot of the electronic music in that vein that we're hearing now. Really, really reminds me of a lot of the trip hop that we were hearing originally coming out of like France and the UK, and kind of made its way to America in the kind of early to mid 90s. I'm hearing a lot of that influence sort of coming back in a way where you're mixing those analog and digital sounds and really infusing a lot of heart into it.
That's interesting. Yeah, no, I mean, I feel like trip hop I always associate with kind of the slinkier elements, this quasi gothness to it. But no, I think you definitely hit something there, that like how it gave it a much warmer tone too. Like, you listen to some of those Portis Static records and just kind of the found sounds that get mixed in. Good job.
We'll talk about my obsession with trip hop later. but now we're going to move on to a couple of artists, the first of which is Ash. Tell me about Ash.
Ash was one of the first bands that I nerded out on. You guys may know Ash. They're an old band from Northern Ireland. Got big around, I think I want to say, the early and mid-90s. Just sort of a pop-punk sound. The crazy thing is they've been a band for this whole time, kind of on and off as they've gained and lost members. There are two solid ones that have been there. I think it's the drummer that's been kind of circling through. At a point, they had Charlotte Hatherly play with them on guitar. Who did she play with? Was it... she was in an all-girl band.
Yes, she was. That's totally escaping me right now. Yeah. And I'm going to Google it here in a second if it doesn't come to me.
But yeah, she was amazingly talented. And teenage Britpop Dave totally had a crush on her. And I think there was some sort of admission of that at a concert in Grand Rapids at some point. But yeah, no, just a great pop-punk band, and they're still doing that. There's not a lot new going on with it, and it's just still great. You know, you may think it's weird, a band like that still churning out this music, but these guys were super young when they were doing it originally. Though the band's been around for 23 years, everyone in the band's still under 40 years old. So they were
pretty
early on.
They got plenty of time.
Yeah. You find it out?
Yes, yes. Okay, so she's been in a couple of bands, but I think the one you are specifically thinking of is Sister George.
Is that
or
it?
Is it Night Nurse?
No.
No?
Maybe okay. I don't think she was necessarily a member in the band that I was thinking of. Maybe she just toured and played guitars with them, so that could be it. I don't know. I thought she was in like a... Night Nurse wasn't a big thing. Because I remember trying to buy the import CD off of eBay. But I don't know. She was in something. She's getting a paycheck, so good on her. And I don't know. I've still loved Ash. I mean, you'll listen to this song and you'll know why. Like, you just need to get to the front of the stage, you know, make sure your glasses are on secure and just go wild.
Well, I think that's a perfect introduction, so let's take a listen to this one right now, and then we'll have Velveteen up next, and more from Dave. This is Kaleidoscope on WISO.
Too many limits and I almost cried. So you think you're gonna die in a New Orleans bay, down in a sleazy motel? Well, you can only lack a vomit. Where's the drama mean? I need a straight face going to hell. I need a straight face going to hell. I need a straight face going to hell. Tell the EPA or a table go and get green. Where's the tip of my toes? They just fell. Well, you can only lack a vomit. Spitting ketamine. Where the K-holes are wishing well. K-holes are wishing well. K-holes are wishing well.
That was music from Shilpa Ray. That one was called Johnny Thunder's Fantasy. And we are talking with Dave Oppenauer, the editor of Ghetto Blaster magazine, and we are listening to artists featured in the latest issue. And we do have one more to give away, and we'll get to that here in a second. So get your phone ready to dial in for that. So Shilpa Ray is awesome. Let's just say that.
Absolutely.
What drew you to her awesomeness to feature her?
Well, we did an article on her back when it was her band Shilpa Ray and her Happy Hookers, and Jim Testa of JerseyBeat.com, who's been a longtime contributor to the magazine, he did the interview for them. It was an incredible record then, a record so incredible, actually, that Nick Cave handpicked Shilpa to go out and open for her on a number of dates. And, like, you can tell, like, the gravity of being a young artist and getting handpicked by Nick Cave to open these dates in the interview. And she talks about how Nick Cave kind of sat her down after one of the shows and just, like, talked about the importance about what you're singing, not to just make something that's filling a verse, but just to really concentrate and to make sure that you're saying something in the song. And I mean, you can definitely tell that. I mean, in Nick Cave's music, like, his verses are packed, and I don't.
Oh yeah.
You're gonna be. I don't know. I'm completely enthralled with that man. But you can also see it in this new Shilpa record. Like, there's a lot more attention to the lyrics and the songwriting, and it's cool. Like, to see her taken under his wing and just to see how that influences and, like, not just become like Nick Cave Jr., but to kind of embolden her to become more of who she is in a new and exciting way.
Definitely, because she's still very much doing her own thing
yeah.
here.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, and it was cool. Like, I was really excited when I saw that that tour was happening. And then when the new record came out, it was like, well, there we go. Now we got to make this happen.
And before that, we heard Velveteen, and they're a band with many and varied offerings.
That's right. Velveteen, actually, when I went out to work intern in New York City, I got to work their EP, the Elysium EP, and that was like the first press that I ever did, and I fell in love with that EP. It's just such a dense, beautiful strings and piano, and it just draws you in, and it's really, really emotional. But then the record that was before it was more of like an emo pop record, equally passionate. But then the record that preceded it turned into this electronica kind of freak out record.
Yeah.
So like, and that, you know, I think to their fans that stuck around, it has really made them love it and just being like, we're on board, whatever you want to do. But I also think that there's probably a contingent that were frustrated, just like, and I know like some of my coworkers there were like, man, if that emo pop record came out after Elysium instead of this electronica freak out, these guys could have been huge. And like, but it's refreshing to see artists that aren't thinking about like what's going to make me huge. And not that I encounter a lot of those artists in the sort of people that we deal with, but just their boldness that it's like, we're going to make the art we want to hear, and that's it. Like, hopefully people like it, but this is, you know, this is an outlet for us primarily, and you know, that's what it is.
Well, we are going to give folks a chance to win. We've got one more copy of Ghetto Blaster magazine, which we are talking about tonight. We have a copy of the latest issue available to the second caller at 937-769-1998. That's 937-769-1998. Second caller wins a copy of the issue that we are talking about. And we're going to go into some more music from some of the artists with A familiar band here, the Heartless Bastards.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, Southwest Ohio's pride and joy with their new record recorded down there in Texas on a pecan farm right on the Rio Grande. So you can definitely hear that ringing through.
Let's take a listen to that one. And 769-1998 is the number to call to win.
Smell the pine down my mind.
was Metz. And you're hearing it on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WISO. They are one of the artists featured in the latest issue of Ghetto Blaster magazine. And we've got the editor, Dave Obenauer, here in the house. Tell me about Metz, first and foremost.
Metz is a really great band on Sub Pop. Very noisy, very loud, very aggressive. But believe it or not, this is their sophomore album, and a lot of what they've done here is kind of channeled that into more traditional song type structures. So it was really interesting. I don't know, like I'm a big Comets on Fire fan, so like I kind of feel torn. Like it's nice to see some of this progress, and it's interesting to see some of this progress as noise becomes jazz.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, if you get too far down that rabbit hole, you're like, yeah, this jazz is cool, but man, I listened to your first record and it just blew my head clean off. And it's like, I kind of miss a little bit of that. So I mean, Metz is definitely not there. I'm just, it's a word of warning. Watch it.
Don't get too polished now. And before that, we heard Domen Gang, and that was a super cool track.
Yeah, Domen Gang's really cool. Album came out on Thrill Jockey, probably my favorite labels going around these days. Very varied label out of Chicago. But anyway, Domen Gang is this kind of like glammy, sort of boogie, but it doesn't get into that kind of bluesy sort of Soledad Brothers or even earlier White Stripes sort of thing. Like, it's just got, I don't know, it's got a little more T-Rex to it, which I appreciate. And, you know, just totally going the instrumental route. It's fun just to see these, like, boogies just kind of unfold and let the guitar wail. And we don't need anyone to sing. It just messes up the plot.
And we are talking about the latest issue of Ghetto Blaster magazine. All of the artists that you've been hearing over the past hour and a half are artists that are featured in the new issue. And we've had some winners who got their very own copies. But for the people who are seeking it out in the world, where can they get their hands on it locally?
Yeah, locally, the places that it's available at, if you're here in Yellow Springs, you can go pick it up at Toxic Beauty. If you're there in Dayton, you can get it at Omega or Ghostlight. We're also available at some select Books and Company, as well as, I think, still some Second and Charles and Barnes and Noble. Some smaller, some of the bigger chains, not all of them. But hey, if your local store doesn't get it, be sure to bug them about it. And, you know, we'd love to definitely get it out there too.
And of course, the action kind of keeps going for Ghetto Blaster beyond, the print issue that comes out. You guys have a pretty rockin' website that's, has things happening all the time. Tell us a little bit about what's happening on the site. You guys just remodeled, right?
It was
fairly
a
recently?
While ago. It might have been like, it could be a year and a half ago.
Okay.
Now.
Okay.
But yeah, no, fairly recently.
I was gonna say, it still feels
there,
pretty fresh.
And even if you have been there recently, come on back anyway. But yeah, no, like the magazine, we've got the magazine's got a bunch more than music in it. We also do comic book features. In addition, we've interviewed a couple comedians, and we've got a feature on the new Batman game. And why I mention this is because over there on the website, it's convention time for us gaming nerds. And if you go over there, you will find a two-part wrap-up of all the board games we played at the Origins Gaming Fair in Columbus, as well as part one of the Gen Con, the games of Gen Con, and part two should be going up tomorrow, if not the day after. And if gaming's not your thing, there's also an amazing competition that Tim Andrel has engineered for us. If you go to Facebook and like us, and like Earthquaker Device, and like Tim's podcast, Soundcheck Chat, Soundcheck Check, I don't, sorry, you will get entered in to win a pedal from Earthquaker Devices. It's their levitation pedal. It's just incredible. They're a great company out of Cleveland. I'm trying to think. I know some of the guys in our ring. Well, one of the guys. There's only one guy in our ring. But I know he's used some of their pedals in addition to some other bands. I think one of the guys from Party of Helicopters may have too. So, yeah, it's a really great company. A lot of great stuff on the website, constantly being updated with news and reviews and more of that. Good stuff.
And we've got a link up to Ghetto Blaster's website and their Facebook page where you can start the chain of likes to enter the contest on our Facebook page, facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio. Get your hands on the latest issue of Ghetto Blaster magazine. It is a dual cover, High on Fire on one side, Murs on the other. And we're going to go out on one more song. What do we got here? We got Failure.
It's an old band from the 90s. Yeah, some of you may be familiar with. It was interesting. I was talking with my boss at my day job just about Pink Floyd and them getting get back together for Farm Aid and just how sad it was that they all just talked about how much they hated each other and how hard that was. And like just to read this interview from Failure, just to be like, you know, they didn't break up under the best of circumstances. Their last album was pretty heavily drenched in drugs, just kind of deteriorating relationships. But then to hear about how they were able to get back together and just kind of click back into it and, you know, let the art happen, let the mistakes happen and just, you know, record it all down and get out a new record.
Well, let's take a listen to this one. This is from Failure, and that wraps up our session with Dave Obenauer, the editor of Ghetto Blaster magazine. The new issue is out now. We've got links up to connect with them on Facebook and on the web on our Facebook page, facebook.com/kaleidoscope radio. And Dave, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing some tunes with us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Juliet.